So why do we doubt at times when we pull our eyes off of Jesus? You know, maybe it's a physical trial, whatever it might be. You pull your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink. Maybe you're sinking. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Maybe it's a relational trial, marriage, problem with kids, work, whatever it might be. You get your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today you'll conclude our look at how to endure difficulties when we're following Christ. And, you know, for most Christians here in America, this is something that we've not faced.
You know, Dave, the truth is enduring difficulties doesn't just mean physical persecution. It encompasses all kinds of mistreatment we might face for obeying and following the Lord. Now, the question we'll ask and answer today is this: what do you do when life's difficulties come? Are you overwhelmed? Our passage is found in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn there as we begin.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He will never leave us nor forsake us. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the writer says, hey, chapter 13, verse 5, let your character be free from the love of money, be content with what you have. And you say, okay, what do I have? Oh, look at your bank account. No, he's talking about what you have. You got the Lord Jesus. He says, for here, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. He's not going to desert you. You're in your trial. He hasn't deserted you. He's interceding for you, and he wants you to trust him, right? So that we can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? We need to get to that point. Yes, we get shaken up. We get rebalanced. We focus on the Lord. We start trusting more in him. We get our eyes on him, and we can say, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to be afraid. Jesus was teaching them a lesson, although he was not with them physically, that he still cares for them. He's concerned for them, and as we will see, will deliver them. The Lord knows your difficulties. Turn to Psalm 23. The Lord knows what's going on. He wants you to pay attention to him. He wants you to trust him. You see, that's how we please the Lord. He's pleased when we trust him. We ought to be trying to learn what is pleasing. How do we trust him in these circumstances? Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with you at your work. He's with you in your marriage. He's with you at church. He's with you at school. He's with you in your job. He's with you in the difficulties that you go through. He's with you. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou hast anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness or mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So then, the Lord sees him, right? He sees your situation, and he's tending to walk by that I believe that they would see him. Okay? So back to our passage. Notice verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, just amazing when I read this, saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, it is a ghost! And they cried out for fear. You see, get the picture? The disciples on the boat, they're rowing. They're rowing for their lives, by the way. And Jesus is walking on water, walking right by them, and they see him, and they were terrified. They thought it was a ghost. It says they cried out for fear. Terrified. The term ghost here is where we get our word phantasm. It speaks of an apparition. And in the Jewish culture and many other cultures, there's many myths of ghosts and things out on the waters. But here, we know there's no such thing as ghosts. All those ghost shows and TV are all false. It's all fake. It's all either fake or it's demons. They're demons fallen angels, there's certainly that, but there's no ghosts, okay? And so here, it's not a ghost, it's the living God. So they think it's a ghost, and they're screaming in this trial, and they're screaming. They're tortured, and now they're terrified because of the Lord Jesus walking out to them. They don't know what it is or who it is. So with this in mind, sometimes you've gotten those situations, and it's because you're obeyed. It's obeyed. How are we to respond? We need to know the Lord Jesus sees our trials, and he's right by us, okay? Then notice, how does he respond to their great fear? Notice it's to the disciples, not just Peter, by the way, initially. Notice it's to the disciples, not just Peter. But immediately he spoke to them, okay? Saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Oh boy, we got to take courage. The Lord sees our difficulties, he's right alongside. It is I, do not be afraid. He spoke immediately. Immediately, I love this. And he does the same thing in his word to us in his trials. There's no delay. His word speaks to us immediately if we will listen. Immediately. And notice, Jesus spoke to them. We have his human name. Matthew shares it. But immediately Jesus spoke to them. His human name, Yeshua, the Lord is salvation. The I am who takes on human flesh is salvation. Take courage. It is I, or ego eimi. It is I. I am here. Take courage. Do not be afraid. The term take courage speaks of the ability to confront fear, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. To confront fear, pain, danger, uncertainty, or intimidation. Courage. Now, this is not courage by pulling up your own bootstraps. It is courage by trusting in the Lord because he is near. Take courage. And do not be afraid, because it's him, ego eimi, because it's the Lord Jesus. You see, because of the Lord Jesus, in every one of our trials, we should take courage and not be afraid. Because Lord Jesus, in every one of our trials, and he's compassionate, he understands our frame. We go through those gyrations, we get scared, we have to turn in, we go through that process. He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's merciful, but we need to learn. He's talking about faith. Talking about faith in him. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's a promise. He's going to help. He's going to uphold you. All throughout Scripture, God encourages his servants when entering danger or difficulty to be courageous and not fear, based on the fact that he is their God. That's why. Deuteronomy chapter 31, as they're getting ready to go into the land, the Lord says, be strong and courageous, verse 6, and do not be afraid or tremble at them. That's speaking of the people they're going in to defeat. For the Lord God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. He's with you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 7, Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. Strong and courageous, for you shall go with his people into the land the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. And then we read this earlier, but you can turn to Joshua as he's about to go into the land and lead the Jews into the land. It's going to be a difficult process. And the Lord says to him through the word, Joshua 1:7, only be strong and very courageous. He says, be careful to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left so that you may have success wherever you go. Stay in the word of God. Don't depart from it and trust the Lord. Be strong and courageous. He says in verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He is with you in your marriage. He's with you at work. He's with you in every circumstance. Don't fear. Be courageous. The Lord says, he himself has said, I will never desert you. I'll never forsake you. You got to believe that. It's by faith, by the way. And he says, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? Take courage. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid. That's what he says to you. He cares for you. Your affliction has not gone unnoticed. Your difficulties are not unseen. He's interceding for you, and he comes to your aid. Take courage. It is I, and do not be afraid. We've got to have that in our heads. We've got to believe what God has said and trust in him. So notice how we can endure these difficulties when they come. First of all, know he allows it for our good. He's allowing it. Second, we know that he sees our struggle and he deeply cares, right? And then notice we can learn from Peter's great faith and his little faith. Look in our passage. So the Lord immediately spoke to them, verse 27, saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He's walking on the water, the storm is brewing, and he's talking to the disciples, all of them. And notice we have Peter, the leader among equals. He says, and Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, this is an amazing statement. The winds are crashing, howling, and waves are crashing. Jesus walked up close enough that they could have a conversation. Okay? And he tells them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. And I find this amazing that Peter would ask this. And some have impugned him, saying he was testing the Lord God and that was sin. I don't believe that's the case at all. The Lord would not have responded to his request if that was the case. I believe in the midst of the winds and waves, it's night, seeing something they've never seen before in their entire life. Peter desires to validate it, and that's appropriate. Lord, if it's you, command me to come on the water. And Jesus' response is amazing. And he said, come. Isn't that great? And notice what happens. Peter steps out in great faith, by the way, at this point. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. This is quite amazing. It's still storming. Winds are howling. Sea is crashing. The Lord says, come. Peter gets out and he walks over towards the Lord Jesus. And then notice, verse 3, he pulls his eyes off the Lord. And this is where we get snagged. And this is where we got to learn. But seeing the wind, he became afraid and beginning to sink. You see this? The lesson's so obvious here. When we take our eyes off Jesus, our faith is empty. Our obedience is fruitless in this sense. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus because Jesus is the focus of our faith. So it's dark and stormy and Peter starts to look away and he starts sinking. This is amazing. And I marvel how the Lord was teaching Peter about genuine faith and he's teaching us now. You got to look at Jesus. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes on your trial, you're going to sink. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Jeremiah 17:7. So Peter pulled his eyes off Christ, starts to sink, and then what do we see? We see the shortest prayer in Scripture. He cried out saying, Lord, save me! Yep. And immediately, I love this, and immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. You need to be saying, Lord, save me in your trials. Your eyes get pulled off. Turn back to the Lord. Lord, save me. My eyes are pulled off to you. I'm sinking. Save me. Save me. Stretch out his hand, and obviously Peter had gotten pretty close to Jesus, and his eyes were off. You know what? We all here, I believe, love the Lord. We're trying to follow him, but like Peter, our eyes can be pulled away. We're so close to him, we're walking with him, and all of a sudden our eyes are just pulled off. So easy. Lord, save me, and immediately he saved him. You see, we can boldly come before the throne and find mercy and receive grace in time of need, right? Now notice, Peter and Jesus are walking back to the boat. And Jesus graciously, and I believe lovingly, reproves Peter and maybe us. And he said to him, middle of verse 31, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, so here the question is, why did you doubt? And he says, little faith. That's because he doubted, right? Why did you doubt? So why does the Lord Jesus ask this question? So that Peter would understand and so that we would. Why did he doubt? He got his eyes on the storm and off of Jesus. That's why he doubted. If you pull your eyes off of Jesus and onto your circumstances, your faith is going to plummet. Okay? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The writer, in light of the surrounding testifiers of chapter 11, who by faith followed the Lord, even in the context of torture and death, they followed the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of testifiers, that's really what it is, surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us, and that sin is a lack of faith, by the way, as we'll see in context of Hebrews, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, that's Jesus, who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Now, how do we do this? We need to see him through the eyes of the Scriptures. See, it's the Word of God that reveals the God of the Word. It's the Word of God. And we need to do so in the context of prayer. We need to be going to the Word. We need to be looking at the truth. We see those passages. Our God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We need to go to this passage and be reminded of the Lord Jesus' gracious kindness to help them, right? We go in the context of prayer. So why do we doubt at times when we pull our eyes off of Jesus? You know, maybe it's a physical trial, whatever it might be, you pull your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink. Maybe you're sinking. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Maybe it's a relational trial, marriage, problem with kids, work, whatever it might be. If you get your eyes off Jesus, you're going to sink. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. And then notice back in our passage, notice the trial didn't end the minute Peter was grabbed by the Lord. Still kept going. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, oh, you little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got in the boat, the wind stopped. You see, sometimes our trials don't end right away. The Lord grabs us and he walks with us. And it's when they got in the boat, we see that it ended, right? The wind stopped. So you say, okay, I've got it down now. I have to keep my eyes on Jesus, trust him and obey him, be courageous and not fear. Well, it's one more thing. It's more than just that. We need to be praising him and worshiping him for who he is. We need to see him rightly for who he is. Obviously, the walking on water reveals one thing about him. He's God, right? The ability to have Peter walk in water by commanding him to do so, it reveals he's God, right? Look at verse 32. And when they got in the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. They're talking to him. The Lord says, you are certainly God's son. They worshiped him. That's the proper response. We're to worship the living God. We're to worship and serve him only. When he's revealed himself through the word, it should cause us to worship him. You are certainly God's son. It should cause us to think the truth concerning him, declare it. Now, on a side note, I'm horribly dismayed by what the term worship has taken on in the current church culture. Worship is almost unequivocally connected to music. Worship pastor, worship leader, worship songs, worship band. Music in and of itself is not worship. Now, you can worship to music. There's no doubt about that. Worship, singing praises unto him. But worship itself is not music. Worship is the declaration and acknowledgement of the truth concerning the living God that he has revealed about himself. It is by those who are led by his spirit. Remember what Jesus told the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And they worshiped him here without a worship band, without a worship time, without a worship leader. They worshiped him by declaring the truth concerning him. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. That's where our hearts need to be. You're the true God. You are certainly God. You're a gracious, wonderful God. Spirit-led declaration of truth is the worship of God. Now, that can be set to music, but that's the worship of God. Declaration of truth back to him. You are certainly God's son. You see, folks, for them to declare him as God's son, they're declaring him to be God. They understood the truth of the Word of God. Psalm 2, verse 11, worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Take refuge in him at work, at home, at church. Take refuge in him. It's a very present help in time of trouble. Psalmist would say, I love thee, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You need to believe that. And if you do, he will be your refuge. If you're wobbling and fobbling and nobbling, your little faith, you're just going to grovel around. But God is gracious and he uses his word to turn our hearts, to show us our little faith at times, that we would have great faith, that we would trust him. So how can we endure difficult trials? Well, we need to understand that as we obey the Lord, there's going to be difficulties. Some for serving him, some in terms of persecution. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trouble in this world. But God uses them for good. He is not a distant God. He is aware of our difficulties. He is right alongside, waiting for us to trust him. He calls upon us to take courage. He is, and not fear. Now, there may be some of you today who are in great peril, and you don't know it. You're about to go into eternity apart from God and be punished for your sins. And you need to cry out to the Lord, Lord, save me. Save me. And he'll save you. And so for us, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, like those in the boat, Jesus is going to send us into situations that we're absolutely incapable of delivering ourselves. And although we feel he's not there, he is. We need to trust him by faith, be strong and courageous, to take courage because he is.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, you talked about God rescuing us when we cry out for him to save us from the storm that we're facing. But aren't there times that he chooses not to calm the storm?
You know, Dave, that's a really good question, and it really brings up an important point as we consider enduring the difficulties for the cause of Christ. You see, the Lord doesn't follow our timeline. In other words, we may be in the middle of a very difficult time, and we might want it resolved immediately. But the Lord may allow it to continue well past what we might want in order for us to learn a lesson and to strengthen our faith. You know, he is the one who's allowed the storm, and at times he's even decreed it. But never, Dave, is it for our harm or destruction. It is always truly for our good. You know, we have an attitude in this fast food society that we need to get out of our troubles so quickly. And unfortunately, that really doesn't equate to what God has declared in his word. You see, the Lord is the only one who knows what we truly need, and he will do everything necessary to see that we are given what we need to be more and more like him, which, by the way, is what we truly need. That is to become more and more like Jesus Christ every day. So then, if you're in the middle of a difficult time, don't resist it. Don't become bitter. But rather ask the Lord to provide you the courage and strength to trust him and to endure those hard times. get into His Word, understand from His perspective what He's doing. Know that He is working in you and through you so that you will become more like His Son, Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.